Bonnie Gagne, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, or the Black Conscious Corner, where we do a deep thinking and raise courageous questions about issues that face the Black community, not only locally but in diaspora. As a part of our panel this evening, we have historical archivist Ernest McBride for his father, Ernest McBride Sr., who was a longtime civil rights activist in the Long Beach area, and maintained a stellar legacy in which schools and various recreation centers named after him and recognized for starting the first NAACP, as well as the Optimist Club, and one of the advisors for many political and social organizations in the Long Beach area. And his son, Ernest McBride Jr., is the archivist of all of his activities. We also have Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, longtime community activist, as well as advisor to the community of Louisiana and various political, educational, and social service activities. We have a brother, Rashiki Mascani, who is the architect of the Community Education Network that provides the Conscious Corner, this platform, as well as his own platform, in which he has guest speakers and guest presentations throughout the week. But mainly, his main Community Education Network is tomorrow night on Wednesday at 6 p.m., in which he'll make further announcements. Brother Rashiki is a longtime activist, student from Cal State Long Beach, former star basketball player, as well as a person that has deep, deep visions for the services and development of the African American educational consciousness. So we want to get started. There's so much going on with regards to the war and with regards to just the challenges that we face as Black people, not only just here, but we want to recognize the brother that's the pilot for the Amun spaceship. This brother is unique in many ways. Outstanding astronaut. I forget his name. I'll get his name. But he is the pilot of the spaceship that's going up to the moon and going around the moon. And I had all that information in my note. Well, I'll get to that later. But anyway, we want to recognize him for his genius here and his outstanding accomplishment as an astronaut, and illustrating Black excellence and Black achievement. But we'll get into that a little later. We have Brother He, who's also a longtime community activist out of Detroit, grew up out here, very familiar with major issues of the face of Black people, deep thinker, and keeps us abreast of what's going on the East Coast. We're going to get started with this discussion because it's very serious. As we always say, you may not be at war, but you're definitely in the war because it affects us economically, politically, and socially with regards to what's going on in the world today. We call us Wayliwumo. People mean that we are people of the world from a Swahili standpoint. And we're not just local people and not just national people, but we are global people. So we're going to start off with comments and a perspective. Brother Mashinda, how do you look at this destroy civilization advocacy that Trump was talking about doing to Iran? You
Well,
hear
I
me?
mean, he's just,
Yeah.
good evening. Yeah, he's just being consistent with how he's been. That's all. I think he's gotten, them comments is, he's gotten a little more emboldened, just being very bold with what he's saying, but it's not, it's not surprising, it's dangerous, but it's, but he's got an agenda to fulfill. So, and white supremacy is on the forefront of it, and then world dominance, petrol dollars, all that, when you the economic system is embedded in the heart and the guts of this whole thing, and so the economic system is at risk, with being making taking the a back seat, to the Chinese, which they're trying to, so it's one of the main things that they're doing. They're fighting, on the economic front. And so, but as far as what you said about the civilization, blowing them back into the Stone Ages, come on. So those comments, they are, they're definitely dangerous comments, but the world know who, who they're dealing with. They are who they thought they were. They not, it's nothing, how should I say? It's nothing new. I mean, there is now, we're just, with the multimedia systems we have, social media, on TV, competition, everybody's trying to get a news story out. So everything is connected. Stock market's connected on emotions and statements, and it's kind of a, so anyway, I don't know. It's kind of chaotic right now. That's my thoughts right now.
How you feel about them Iran shooting down the plane and they retrieving the two the pilot and the gunner that they say they retrieved? Because Trump had said that they had gotten rid of all their capabilities.
Yeah.
Go how you
Well, now, well, like I say, he's been lying from day one, so I don't know what to, I don't know what to believe on that front, but I know that we're in the Western world, so we're not going to get the truth, the total truth. We'll get some, like I said, it's a lot of competition out there as far as getting information out there. So, I mean, you get information, but take it all with a grain of salt when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm not over there, don't, like I say, it's a, Trump is playing with, dynamite. You know what I'm saying? He's tripping, so, but anyway, I have no more comments about those dudes.
Right. Just how about you? What's your position on what's been going on with the shooting down of the plane, with the 10-point peace plan, with the going to destroy the civilization, with the war in Iran and the war in Venezuela, and the taking over Venezuela, the blockade of Cuba. What's your position on it? Ernest, yeah.
Oh, Well, I kind of agree with Machinda, Brother Machinda there, because now he told, claimed that the reason we started this bombing the hell out of them, talking about bombing the infrastructure and bombing the power stations and what's going to do to the people he's supposed to be liberating. Because he's killing them left and right with these bombs and stuff. Because they, you know, if you can believe what they say, they claim that more women and children being killed than warriors, you know, that's fighting them. So what Trump's saying, like Machinda's saying, you know, this is a pretense to get in there and try to take over the country. I mean, because he's not making no sense. Like, who was that Chuck Schumer was saying today? The man is sick, know. And we stuck with a sixth president. Then the Supreme Court give him carte blanche where you can't prosecute him for doing all these war crimes because that's what he's doing. Now they're saying the Department of Justice just came on about an hour ago saying they that he doesn't have to give. He can keep that stuff. He don't have to turn it over to the presidential archives like everybody else had to do. And he can, you know, this is, you know, and the sad thing is that people are dying, you know. I mean, he throwing bombs and then like they say, you know, common sense, we all know from every war we've ever had, you can't win a war alone on air, on dropping bombs. Because, you know, probably one out of three targets you actually hit. And then we actually know that because, like you said earlier, how these planes, our planes get shot down. What they use the slingshots now? Or what? Because they still got missiles. You know, he claimed last week or 2 weeks ago, we knocked out all the missiles. But yet and still, planes get shot down here 2 weeks later.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, it's just, I'm like Machinda, it's just a sad situation.
All right. Well, Brother He, what's your position? Brother He, you on mute?
I hear it, brother.
Okay.
No one thought this was a good idea. No one in America, no one advised him to go into this war. It had been studied for years. He wouldn't listen to the people or wouldn't listen to the plans that have been left behind by the previous presidents. This guy is suffering from dementia. He's got mental health issues that aren't being addressed, and he's leading this nation. The Iranian people who were already protesting against their government because of the mistreatment of the people and the religious regime strict rules. Well, they galvanized now back around the government because of you bombing them. He is a classic bully. This bully, when confronted, he does what bullies do and they'll back down. I just saw on the news where this guy accepted the Tehran's 10-point plan to end the war. Everything unconditionally. He threw out Obama's plan with Iran, which would basically had got which had everything that he wanted initially, and then turns around gets his bluff call and accepts all 10 points non-conditionally and is ready to walk away. So I guess that means that instead of us having health care, we'd be footing the bill for this idiot's war. It's unbelievable. You can't write this. If you sat down and just thought about some fiction and said, I'm just going to write something just as far out as I can get it, you couldn't write this. So he's predictable, but he's not predictable. Professor, I was thinking one thing earlier, and now I'm thinking something else. We know America has been in like a constant war the last 200 years, warring every 20 years or so. It is a menace to the world. Now he's going to be forced to get out of the Middle East. That's going to be a good thing for the rest of the world. America will lose its standing, or has basically lost its standing among its other allies and enemies around the world. They don't fear it. They see it's just a joke. So I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, Professor, about this. All the twists and turns. It's better than a James Bond movie. So so that's all I have.
Roger Key?
Something else.
Roger Key, you there?
I'm here.
What is your position?
My position is always peace. That's what my position is. But I don't really have too much to say. It's I always say the original intent is the same intent in all areas. You know, to create havoc, dominate, warmongering, and propaganda. Just everything that's not good. That's what you say about not only the president, but every other one we had. Anybody that took that position. So I really don't have a comment.
All right. Let me say this. The most important thing is that we always educate and be conscious of what's going on and retain our historical recall of what our great leaders have said and what we've experienced ourselves. Sometimes we have short memories about America. And we try to, they have a tendency to, with the euphoria of food and entertainment and sports and things of this nature, sometimes you forget the realities up under all of that. Like Mashinda was saying, it's all about the money and cash. Even in the baseball games, the basketball games, the college games, everything. They got unlimited betting now, 48 in a lot of betting. And, I mean, it has really gotten to a whole new different dimension. But getting back to this, see, Iran, or they call it Iran, has a long history of struggle. 90 million people. And the Ayatollah Khomeini, who they Persians, they mix Arabs and whites. And but these Persians identify more like Arabs than they do with white people. And Iran is a power broker in the Middle East and support the resistance movement of the Israel's expansion and genocide and war on Arab people in the Middle East. America is the sponsor of Israel. Israel, this is not the Israel of the Bible. This is the Israel of today. The people that started Israel didn't even believe in Judaism. They just went over there for economic reasons and political reasons. In 1948, Ralph Bunche signed an agreement to let Jews escape in Nazi Germany from the Holocaust to settle in Palestine. But first they tried it in Africa, and a couple places in Africa, but white people already had it. So they ended up in Palestine. They went in as guests. Like when America, when white people came to North America, where the Native American was, they didn't fight their way in. They came as guests. And when they went into Africa to colonize Africa, they came in as guests. They come in as mercenaries with gifts and all kind of stuff. They try to be helpful. And then they build forts and military apparatus and end up enslaving people or taking over their land. Well, Iran, they call them the biggest sponsor of terrorism, but they're the biggest sponsor of support for those that are resisting the tyranny, the genocide, and the viciousness of America and Israel carving out land. And what is really nothing but East Africa. But they call it the Middle East, but there ain't no such thing as that. You know, all of that was a part of Africa, if you see. That's why Anwar Sadat looked just like the brother on Figueroa and Slauson. It's a whole new different game, but Iran has always been a strong. In 1979, when Ayatollah came back from Europe to take over Iran, they took 200 and something hostages and held them for close to 2 years. And what happened was they let the women and the blacks go, except for one black, who they said was a CIA agent. And every night, the President of the United States said, "We're going to bomb you. We're going to come and get our hostages. If you don't let them loose, let them loose." And then they ended up having to negotiate to get the hostages. This is the same thing with the so-called straight Hamas, I mean, waterway where they trying to get Iran to open up to let the ships in. But what happened was, and they kept saying, if you don't open up the waterway, the Strait of Hamas, we're going to bomb you, we're going to do this. And Iran said, do it. See, their whole concept of death is different from Americans. You know, Americans want to live. That's why Trump sent all them troops over there like he was going to invade, but they never got off the ship. When they got off the ship in Vietnam, they lost. Everywhere they have to fight, even Israel, they're good at dropping bombs from the sky, shooting missiles from afar. But as far as, and these people don't even have uniforms, don't have no, they just fight. They fight to the death because they believe if they die defending their country, they'll be rewarded by going to heaven. I mean, this is some serious religious stuff, a theocracy. But Iran is a power broker there. So America and Israel want Israel to be the power broker. Israel's the only white people in the middle of all the Arabs. And they swear that's their land that God gave them. That's what America said about North America. A manifest destiny. God wanted us to have it. That's what Russia said to the Asians and Japanese over there, that God, well, at one time they said God, but then they went atheist. But anyway, Trump had said that he was going to blow up Iran if they didn't open up the Strait of Hormuz and let the ships come in. Iran was fighting an asymmetrical war. They couldn't compete with American military. So they started fighting them where they had power, and that was the control of this canal where 20% of the oil and fertilizer and other goods go through to get to Asia, Europe, and they trade with America. And they had an economic devastating. You didn't need a bomb. You didn't need an atom bomb or nuclear bomb. That was just as effective. Because it brought, look at that. If you go around, you got gas almost $7 somewhere, especially diesel. And that hurts the white man worse than the boycotts of the civil rights movement or with the buses. I mean, the price is going up and they have to charge more, and that's less money for them to exploit people. And so Iran held out through all these threats. That we're going to bomb you, we're going to bomb you. And they've been bombing them. The Iranian committed war crimes. They bombed the school, they bombed the hospitals, they bombed the university, they bombed the bridge. They already bombing the infrastructure. They were already doing that. And then Trump said, well, we got them just where we want them. We devastated their Navy, their Air Force, their nuclear plants, and the war was over. But Iran kept resisting, started attacking America's interests, their allies, where they had bases. America got bases in Kuwait, bases in Saudi Arabia, bases in Qatar, bases in Syria, bases everywhere. So they started attacking the bases. They weren't attacking Saudi Arabian people. They were attacking American bases. Then they shut off the Strait of Hormuz, the waterway. And they got control of it. So Trump and this dude had something. They down TV and talking all that madness. We got them and we're going to end the war in 10 days. And we're going to end the war. It's over with and all of that. But Iran kept fighting. They said that they had knocked out their air defenses, and they controlled the skies. Next thing you know, Iran and shot down two of their jets. And so that embarrassed them. That was embarrassing, brother. That was embarrassing. Then they got savagery. Start talking about they're gonna bomb them back into the Stone Age against all international. And look, now I want you to understand, Israel, this is Israel's war and America's war. They both are the same people, have the same interests. And I want you to understand that Iran is fighting two of the world's major military apparatuses. That powers America, a whole continent, 300 and some million people, spend trillions of dollars on its military. Israel, same thing. America finances Israel's whole military apparatus. Obama is the one that gave them the dome to protect them from missiles. He gave Israel the dome free. America gives Israel close to $100 billion every year for them to just spend any kind of way they want to take care of their economy. $100 billion. Just give a grant just to establish that colony and keep them afloat. Give them all their military apparatus and scholars and science. Israel got a nuclear bomb. There's nine countries with nuclear weapons. You understand? And Israel is one of them. South Africa, Pakistan, United States, China, Russia, and India. All of them got nuclear weapons. But they don't want nobody else to have none. Iran really didn't want none. They had signed an agreement with Obama. You can have inspections. All we want to do is use nuclear power for energy. Because they're out in the desert. You know, they want energy. And they agreed to all that. Trump tore all that up. Said he can make a better deal than that. It was a bad deal. And they had frozen Iran, billions of Iran money in American banks. And a part of the agreement for them to give up nuclear ambition was that they would give them their money back. America didn't give it Iran them no money. They just unfroze the money that was taken by America in sanctions. And so Trump be talking about they gave them money back. They ain't gave them no money back. That was their money. But anyway, he tore it, just like the border with deportation and stopping people at the border. They had a bipartisan constitutional, a legislation to develop a immigration policy. And Trump made him tear it up because he needed the problem to run on, where he needed to make Israel, Iran, a problem. So he tore up the peace deals, and then they were negotiating twice recently. And while they were negotiating, Israel and the United States bombed the negotiators twice. So Iran said, we ain't talking no more to you. So they had to go to Pakistan. And Pakistan just recently, because Trump talking about, we're going to deny it, probably deny it at 8 o'clock, if they don't agree to our 15-point, they came up 15-point, unconditional surrender, or free up the Strait of Hormuz, change your government. In other words, just 15 things that Iran laughed at them. But Iran came back with 10 points. And Pakistan came tonight and said, look, Trump, you need to accept these 10 points as negotiating points, have a 2-week ceasefire, and we'll discuss your 15 points and their 10 points. But these 10, the 10 points that Iran won't, or Iran, we got to implement right away. Some of them. While we go through this 2 weeks of negotiation, we have to implement the 10-point plan that Iran did. So Iran, and part of them, won a complete ceasefire and a cease of hostilities, which the United States and Israel agreed to for 2 weeks. And that the Strait of Hormuz be controlled by Iran. Iran said, listen, we're going to keep control of that, because that's the only thing to keep y'all off us. You understand? And we'll coordinate the passage of the ships coming through. We'll let them through, but we control them coming through on those conditions. They have to agree to that. And a part of that 10-point plan is reparations for the war and the destruction of all the stuff that Israel and the United States did. That's negotiable. They still negotiate. They wanted to quit attacking Hamas in Lebanon. They wanted that. And that's still working there out. And they wanted to get rid of all American bases in those allies. So this was a strong position that Iran is in, to make these demands and to get them to agree to it. This is a situation where right now, America didn't lose this moral standing. It never really had any among people that really knew them. This is the game they've been running. The hypocrisy, as Malcolm said, is that the naivete for people to believe that throughout America history, they've always did deceive men. Created people to fight each other through COINTELPRO. Trickeration is their game. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. They trick you, and they trick. But see, they couldn't do this with Iran, and so Iran said, "Hey, listen." We want to maintain, and you got to quit attacking our development of weapons to protect ourselves and things of that nature. And then here are the people that then took over Venezuela and just took 100 barrels of out, 100, I don't know how many, billions of 50 billion barrels of oil from them. And just took the government, arrested their president. And then they got a blockade on Cuba, where babies and people are dying in the hospital because they don't have energy, don't have light. Very few people are arguing about that. This is America. That everybody talking about. The land of the free and the home of the brave, a democracy. We want y'all to be like us. You understand? I mean, I want you to understand, this is a very serious challenge we got as a people. And like I was telling y'all before, you know, you have to have a mentality of self-preservation with intelligence. You can't do a lot of things that you used to do. Conditions create consciousness. A lot of trips you've been planning because of the escalation of prices and inflation and the high price of gas and high price of airline tickets, train tickets, bus tickets, and food make you change. That cruise you may want to go on, you may not be able to do. Eating out like you used to, you may have to change. All of those things are part of you saying you're not affected by the war, but it affects you. It affects you. You can say, oh, and you can't blame Trump. Trump, that's not Trump, that's America. That is their policy. America, just show you it's America. How come they let Trump get away with everything he's doing? Because they for it. They right. act like they ain't.
That's right.
But they're right there for it.
Right.
I want you to see that. Brother Reginald Muhammad just came tuning in. How you doing, brother?
Fine, Professor Ra, and to the entire audience, thank you all, brother. I humbly apologize. I'm running late. I value you all's time, and the topic that you're covering tonight is critically important, brother.
Well, go ahead and give us some of your points, brother. You being from the Nation of Islam, with a deep thinker, and you know, part of the reparation struggle for Iran, and you're part of the, you just attended the African Reparation Summit that you were telling me about. But let's talk about this Iranian thing first before you get into the reparation.
Well, Professor Ra, I'm running late. And I'm just honored to be a student of so many great ones, yourself and a host of others. And you all may have covered some points already, Professor Rob, but I want to do say that what you see, though, and you've probably already covered, so you all correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm repeating some information that
okay,
you all have already
ahead.
Said. But Iran and the U.S. relationship goes back to at least 1972, more than 50 years, Professor Ra. And remember when they overthrew the government in Iran and put the Shah on the post there. And part of their problem with Iran is when they finally threw the Shah out, they nationalized their oil and all they nationalized their oil and got a hold of all of the minerals there in Iran. And decided it had to be shared with the people. And again, it's a socialist government. And so the United States and Israel understood to the degree that, you know what, we don't have access anymore to millions of barrels of oil. We don't control the Straits of Hormuz. We don't control that. And so it's always been a problem. So the CIA and others, along with the Israeli Mossad, have always been there to attempt to overthrow and to create problems there in the Middle East. And of course, we say that they said, and it's popularized in the Middle East, but we all know on the call that's Northeast Africa, and they not only the. Was key with that Straits of Hormuz. You're right near the Suez Canal, which is also a big man-made canal for shipping and importing and exporting. And so, and at the end of the day, what we got to keep focus on is that capitalism is in crisis, Professor Ra. So all over the world where Europeans are, where they have dominated since the colonial period, they got to be able to capture those markets and be able to control those markets. And if the U.S. is going to remain the superpower, Professor Ryan, to the audience, they got to be able to control those minerals because otherwise they're not the superpower. And that superpower says that we can control landmass, wealth, resources, populations of a people. And what they've realized is that is slipping away, Professor Ross. So they had to make a move. They got to talk about the nuclear weapons. That is a part of it. But that's not all and why they got to be there. And remember now, Israel, Zionists, the Zionists in Israel, after the Balfour Declaration, they put themselves in the position, and the U.S. backed them even during that time that, okay, how do we maintain this for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, next 75 to 100 years? How do we maintain that? Well, we gotta be dominant. And one of the things that has happened, Professor Rob, is that nobody talks about the fact that Israel has nuclear weapons, and it's located right there in Dimona, Israel. Well, what's significant about Dimona, Israel, and the reason Iran has not bombed that? Do you know there's a large segment of the black population of the Hebrew Israelites are in Dimona, Israel? And you all are familiar with the Hebrew Israelites out of Chicago, Ben Amin's group. And, well, they have always been in that area where the nuclear site is. And that's why it was a problem before they got there. But what these Zionists has done is made sure that's where their nuclear arsenal is, in that area called Dimona, Israel. And one reason Iran has not bombed that area is because there are thousands of black people. Many of them were originally from the United States that are in that area. So that becomes critical. We got to always remember that aspect of it. And but at the same time, Iran is like, how do we stop and control and destroy their nuclear weapons without destroying that population? So that's something that we got to look at and consider, because those of you all who are familiar with the Soul Vegetarian restaurants from the West Coast to the East Coast, that's the same group of Ben Amin them that are in Dimona, Israel.
Yosef Ben Israel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it. But let me just say this.
Yes, sir.
So you got to go back to 1967 also.
Yes, sir.
The first war with Israel and Palestine.
Yes, sir.
Where Israel, and when they first went to Palestine, they came in as guests.
Absolutely.
And they coexisted.
Yes, sir.
Until Israel built a military apparatus.
Absolutely. Good point. Good history.
And then Israel began to kick them out and put up their flags and declare their land. And they pushed the Palestinians out of what is called Palestine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And tried and took control. Absolutely. With America's help.
Absolutely.
And other European powers' help.
Yes, sir.
Then they had every war, Israel had expanded its borders. Malcolm always said that the basis of capitalism is land.
Absolutely, yeah.
The land lives versus the land lost. And as you were saying about precious minerals, oil, that's all in the land.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And that's why they want to expand the land. So they wanted to build a white power base.
Yes, sir.
In East Africa, which they call the Middle East. And that's what Israel is. It had nothing to do with Judaism. Judaism is not a race. Judaism is a religion.
Yes, sir.
Just like the European said he Christian. Ain't nothing about him Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing about him Christian.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the Christian doctrine he got from the ancient African teachings, and he co-opted. Put his image on it with Michelangelo painting the first image of a white Jesus Christ using his nephew and his uncle as the deities. Even Mary, all of this with Michelangelo in the Celestine Chapel. You can go and see it now. Before that, it was Black Madonna and Child.
That's right.
But I'm just telling you that everything in the Ten Commandments was a part of the negative confessions.
That's right. Of
historical African sacred text.
That's right.
I shall not steal. It's I have not stolen.
Yeah.
And all of that. But anyway, getting back to them land. Right now, Israel, it's talking about annexing parts of Lebanon, North Lebanon.
They for Israel heard, now. Yes, sir, for Israel.
Trump's son-in-law, Trump and Netanyahu, Israel's president, talking about taking Gaza and turning it into a beachfront.
That's right.
Remember? It's all about the land.
Land, but that's right.
They couldn't do it because the people would fight and fight to the death because they believe in their doctrine that they are martyrs when they die fighting for their cause.
That's right.
Don't you understand? It's been going on for close to 80 years.
That's right.
That means young people have taken up the fight of the older people.
That's right.
Those that have been killed. So the struggle is continuous. The people that were there in the 70s, this is a new Iran.
That's
and
right.
They keep calling them a regime. The Iran. No, that's a government. It's that's a right. theocracy. It's
that's right.
They don't that's refer right. to Israel as a regime. And they don't refer to themselves as a regime.
Yeah.
But they want to be legitimized the government of Iran and the government of Gaza. And what they're doing in the West Bank, killing Palestinians and taking their land right
that's
now
right.
and building colonies right now. So it's a that's the type of war. See, nobody asked the question. Nobody asked the question. Why are the people fighting?
That's right.
Why are they fighting?
Yeah.
You understand? And they keep saying, oh, they're terrorists. They're not terrorists. They're defending themselves against the aggression of the European. And that's what Iran said. Y'all attacked us.
Yeah.
You attacked us. We just responded.
That's right.
And so, and that's what the struggle. It's very important that we are and we pay attention to what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
what they doing to Cuba? I mean, babies are dying. People that are waiting for surgery, emergency. They have to cut off their. I mean, Jabal. I saw Jabal, one of our guests. He's been living in Cuba for close to 30 years.
Yes, sir.
He has a son in Cuba. It's mandatory that 16-year-olds, just like in Israel, you have to go to the army. You have to do some time in the army.
Yep.
And so Jabal's son, who's 15, his mother took him to Jamaica because she didn't want him to be in the army in Cuba right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of they expect America to invade Cuba and put a Rubio over it.
That's right.
And now, there are two sets of Cubans. There's Afro-Cubans.
And the European, and the whites.
And European Cubans.
That's right.
The European Cubans are in Florida, and they support the extension, America's boycott and blockade of Cuba to overthrow Castro and the socialist and communist lifestyle. But Cuba has one of the best health systems, best human service system. Mm-hmm. Everybody can go to school. Everybody, education, everybody can go get health care.
That's right.
They don't want to leave America, Cuba. They like their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so that's a struggle in itself. But anyway, you have another comment, Reggie? Brother Mama.
You're absolutely right. And again, what we got to understand too, Professor Ra, this is part of what is known as the world order, as one of the last major works from Henry Kissinger, is the New World Order. He wrote it back in 2014, and that was one of his last major works. But he talks about the countries that they were going to need in that area they call the Middle East, and they have going through all of them. Think about the fact that, brother, they destroyed Libya, which is a failed state. They've done that. They did that in Iraq. They did that I forgot some of my countries there. But anyway, at least over the last 40 years, the United States and others have gone into those areas and again overthrown and destroyed the infrastructure, destroyed the economies. And again, this wicked white supremacist. These are the white ruling class. And then some of them come under the title as Jews, but we know them to be Zionists. And at the end of the day, they come under the religious cover, some of them. But again, this is about Zionism. How are you going to control and be able to maintain your power base, your profit base, your policy base, and your privilege base for the next 50 to 75 years? And so you got to do what they're doing. They did in Venezuela. You see Cuba's coming next. They're looking at Canada. But at the end of the day, wherever darker people are, Professor Rod, the key is that wherever darker people are, Black, Latino, Afro, Africans, wherever our people are in the African family, the throughout the diaspora, they got to be able to control those minerals. They got to control the resources, and they got to be able to depopulate. And the key is, too, Professor Rock, they're depopulating. They've already killed over 70,000 Palestinians. The area, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and all of that they have already killed 70,000. So they are planning to, like you said, to build up beachfront property there and everything else. But you got to get rid of the population. Same thing with Iraq. You had to get rid of sizable amounts of the population. That way you can come in there and control the oil. And the other thing that was key too, Professor Rob, is that if you go back and look at COVID, how they were pushing vaccines throughout the continent of Africa and even throughout North America and Central America and everywhere else. Well, the wise thing that a lot of the darker people did not do fall for the vaccine piece, because at the end of the day, Bill Gates and others, and Elon Musk and others, this is how you control the populations. And at the end of the day, and since the populations didn't, many of the African populations and in the Middle East, in the Arab countries rejected them, they had to come with, they got to come in now with outright assault, outright killing and murder to come in and take the land, because they were not able to control those populations now with vaccines and inoculations and everything else they wanted to do. So it becomes a thing. And then too, some of the books that will verify what you're saying, Professor Ryan, and give us the foundation. We go back and read A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. He mm-hmm. deals with the fact that the United States and how they have dealt in their relationship with Israel. And the Zionists and why that relationship exists. Go back and read Eric Williams' work. We know his popular work is Capitalism and Slavery, but the other piece is from Columbus to Castro. He deals with why the United States why Cuba has always been strategic, and why Cuba and other Central and South American countries, why are they key for the United States and to making sure that capitalism remains. Remains with this chokehold on the rest of the free world. So,
see, Cuba's just 90 miles from
Florida.
Florida,
yes,
and sir. It's a whole different thing. But see, let me give you an example. America and Israel is putting out that Iran killed thousands of protesters,
mm-hmm.
but they don't show why. Mm-hmm. They say that they rescued this pilot, but they haven't showed him.
They haven't showed him. Good point.
They haven't showed him yet.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they be parading him, or at least interviewing him.
Mm-hmm.
I say he was hurt, and this and that, and this and that. We don't know if they rescued him or not.
Yeah.
But that's what they put out. That was a great rescue. He climbed a big old mountain while he was hurt.
Yeah.
Got in a crevice, a hole, and they were able to go in there. But they ended up blowing up two planes.
Absolutely.
And these planes cost millions of dollars.
Yes, right.
I want you to understand. Trickery. He faked you out. They make you think they rescued the guy, and the guy's still over there, and they're still looking for him. You understand? But they'll tell you they got it. I'm not saying they didn't, but I'm saying to this day, they have not shown the pilots that they said they rescued. Now, second, they're always videoing showing their victories.
Yep.
But they haven't showed these yet. Yep. They haven't interviewed them. But going back to this, then they say Iran killed thousands of protesters. America been killing protesters throughout history.
Throughout our history, that's right.
Yep, throughout their history. Yep. They just killed two people in Minnesota.
Yeah.
For protesting.
Yeah.
And then they killed the people at Kent State.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Jackson State.
Jackson.
In the
70s. And even at Jackson State.
Yeah. They killed a whole bunch of demonstrators in Ferguson. The white boy walked down the street, shot that man, walking down the street with
Black his Brown. Gun.
Yeah, but always, and look at all the protesters they have attacked. When they was at MacArthur Park in L.A., the police beat the hell out the Latinos. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
That demonstration. So all they talk about that stuff about how they treat a demonstrator. And look at what they did to the civil rights demonstrators. Mm-hmm. Hung them. Beat them. Shot them.
Yep.
Put them in prison. Locked them up. And then they got the nerve to talk about what somebody else is doing. So this is why we have to pay close attention and keep our recall together mentally
That's on right.
this perspective. That's now, right. I want you to understand. Iran has gotten the best of this war by not losing it.
Yeah.
They militarily, the United States beat them up. You can't deny that. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But a septical war, where they cut them off economically.
Mm-hmm.
How you hurt the white man?
Yeah.
Economically.
Yeah, yeah.
Understand? To the point that they have to negotiate.
Yeah.
They have to negotiate. All that bustle. He had all them boats over there, but wouldn't send one of them through the strait.
That's right.
Would not send one.
Good point.
All them warships.
That's right.
Not one through the strait.
Yeah.
But he wanted other people
to go.
Alienated their allies. Now the allies said, hey, look, man, you attack them people.
Yeah.
This ain't a part of NATO.
Yeah.
NATO said, if you attack, we will help you. But not if you're going around expanding your, and we're not going to help you kill these people and destroy these people. I mean, we'll let you use bases and all that, but we ain't sending no troops and ain't sending no planes.
Exactly.
I want you to understand how deep this is, brothers and sisters, from that standpoint. But we want to thank everybody for this evening. It's just a beautiful thing. Anybody have any closing comments?
One thing, I always thought that stuff with Israel started in 48 when they had the Monroe Doctrine. They split up the land, let them take them Arabs' land.
It was the United Nations.
Probably.
Ralph Bunch signed it.
Because I thought that was stupid. You tell somebody, well, because your book said so. You, because they even saying, no, I heard the other day, well, the Zionists are saying, well, their Bible says they can take over all the land they want over there.
Yeah.
I thought, what?
Turn God into a real estate agent. But no, Zionism is a system of government.
Yeah, because that's what my daughter be talking about in France.
It is classified.
Yeah, that's who's causing all this.
Hey, three major races.
Professor Rock,
yeah.
The audience got to understand, too, the U.S. was looking for a way out. You made some very valid points, but the U.S., brother, think about it like this. And one thing that we got to always be mindful of. The U.S. has lost over 500 to 1,000 personnel. Now, remember, there were at least 12 major bases there, and all of them were hit with where the military bases where personnel were staying. The U.S. has lost anywhere from 500 to 1,000. Now, the reason they keep it classified, first of all, you want to lose the morale of the population, your troops, and politicians if they knew the devastation that they were taking. Because remember now, this was supposed to have been over within a week or two.
Yeah.
And now Israel does not even allow news people to show that Tel Aviv downtown area and many of those areas have been devastated, and they have lost nearly 1,000. We're talking about civilians just in Israel, brother. And again, the way to lose the morale and the support of politicians, the troops, and the population, let them know what the death count is. And now, eventually, they're going to tell you what the death count is, but already the U.S. has lost anywhere from 500 to 1,000 military people, Professor Raw, and they've lost at least, we're talking about 15 planes, drones, and then even some of the smaller gunships that they had. They have lost those over there. And again, the white arrogance, greed blinded them, because their people, military people, advised the Trump not to do it. But Jared Kushner and the Zionists, what they have on Trump with this whole Epstein piece, he didn't have no choice. And so they were looking for an off ramp. So now they talking about, well, they got an agreement with Iran. Well, that agreement shows that Iran, bottom line, they're in the driver's seat. And the U.S., this was an off-ramp for them, brother, to say that, you know what, to save face and to not to continue to lose the casualties. And then the other thing, the U.S. won't ask for how many more billions of dollars from Congress, which they're not going to get. So they had to have an off-ramp to save face, and then, two, to try and save the white ruling class, the bourgeois sector, the party that has supported Trump as their best dirty worker. They've got to save him now. So how do we get out of this and save face and say that we won? Lying, these devils of Professor Rock, pathological liars. But again, go back and read the piece by what is his name? Deferring Democracy. He wrote the piece Manufacturing Consent. What is that Jew name? Was that
Kissinger? Was that the one you was talking about earlier?
Well, he wrote a book, The New World Order, New World Order. And what you see happening there now with the Zionists, he laid that out back in 2014. It would come to that, and they would eventually have to deal with Iran, because that was the last major standing country in their way from as far as the controlling of the Gaza, I mean the Straits of Hormuz, the Suez Canal, and then that Red Sea is another part. The Houthis now were laying mines there and deciding whether they were going to stop the oil flow there. They couldn't allow that. So what was the off ramp now is to say that they got a ceasefire, when at the end of the day, Iran has been saying to hell with y'all.
Yeah. Well, that's the struggle. Hey, Brother Rashiki. You there? Roger G.
Yes.
What's on tomorrow?
I'll share it. We got Thursday also. So we got our guest, Lana Reed, and she has a program that she's going to discuss with us. And then we have on Thursday, we have Chris Bonafide doing Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. So that's what we have going on.
Okay.
Hold on,
Peggy, hold on. All right, everybody, we'll see each other tomorrow night.
Professor Rock.
Yeah.
This one of the major pieces, Noam Chomsky. Hegemony or Survival, America's Quest for Global Dominance.
Okay.
That, what you see, that conflict there, Chomsky had laid that out. And this has been about a decade ago, he laid it out. And he gives about a whole chapter just on Iran, why at some point that the United States would have to, if they were going to dominate that region, they would have to go in there and destabilize and overthrow the government and take the resources.
All right, good. I'm glad you showed us that. All right, y'all. We want to say good night, and stay tuned to what's going on. Sante,
right. Thank you, Brother Ron,
and then your comment.
Thank you.